Today is Tuesday, May the 14th, 1985. My name is Margaret Reed. I'm interviewing Mrs. Bonnie Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z, who is the field director of the Pine to Prairie Girl Scout Council, located in Fargo, North Dakota. I want to thank you very much, Bonnie, for talking with me this afternoon. May we begin our time together by having you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you, where you had your education and how you became interested in the Girl Scouts, please.
Well, I'm happy to be here with you, Margaret, and share as much information with you as possible about our organization. As far as myself, 5 years ago, my husband and I moved to Fargo from southern Minnesota, where we were both raised and had been living since our marriage. And my education was completed at Freeborn, Minnesota, Freeborn High School, and I then graduated from St. Cloud State University, you know, the Bachelor of Science degree in Speech and Social Science, and I taught for a few years, taught secondary school, and also worked in community education and worked for some nonprofit organizations at Waseca, Minnesota, prior to our moving to Fargo. And when we did move to Fargo, I was looking for employment, and consequently an opening was available as a field director in our Fargo office, and I took the position, and that job entails myself working with the southern southeast part of our council, which from Fargo-Moorhead area extends out to Becker County, Norman County, Otter Tail County.
All in Minnesota.
Right. Then. I predominantly work with associations in Minnesota. Now, our Girl Scout community organizations are referred to as associations, so when I refer to them as such, it means a town or community's program, local program.
Oh, I see.
Now, our council itself is a jurisdiction, the boundaries of which were established by the Girl Scouts USA in 1963, and our council includes a large area, miles, 40,000 square miles, 14 counties in North Dakota, and 10 in Minnesota.
I see.
And our service center office is located at Grand Forks, and our field office is here in Fargo. We have some out-based part-time staff who are in Valley City, near Devil's Lake, at Thief River Falls, Minnesota also.
I see. So you really do cover a large
yes
area, but you're particularly concerned with this.
Myself and another field director who work in our Fargo office primarily work with the southern portion of our council.
I see. Okay, fine. Well, could you tell us a little bit about the Girl Scout movement and when it, you say it came into this area, does that mean Minnesota or North Dakota or both when did you say?
Well, that was the year the council was formed.
But
there were Girl Scout programs throughout that area prior to that time. But at that point, the National Girl Scouts decided to reorganize the council jurisdictions. There were many small councils as such before then, but they were merged into larger areas.
Well, I know when we moved here in 64, our daughter joined the Girl Scouts in Minnesota, in Moorhead. But I think that was Pine to Prairie then, wasn't it?
It would have been. I don't have the exact year as far as Moorhead's history of Girl Scouting goes. I tried to find a few things out. The best I could pinpoint it was the early 1960s. And if it goes back any further than that, you know, I don't have the people to talk to who might have been involved. In Fargo itself, it was just started in the 1960s also. Other youth organizations were available. And in some communities, I do know, though, that the Girl Scout program has gone back many years. And, you know, it just, I think after the forming of the council jurisdictions as such, then the opportunity was there to provide the kind of direct services on a professional level that a council provides to volunteers in organizing Girl Scout troops and in their local programs. So that was helpful. Girl Scouts was founded back in 1912. March 12, 1912 was the first troop meeting in Savannah, Georgia. The founder, Juliet Gordon Lowe, was the troop leader. And that, of course, initiated the whole Girl Scout movement, which since that time has grown to almost 4 million. It is the largest volunteer organization in the world for women and girls. And it is not only in the United States, but throughout the world in over 104 countries. In fact, the last count, really, it's 108 countries that have joined the World Association of Girl Guides, Girl Scouts. Also, Girl Scouts USA, which is the only name by which in the United States Girl Scouts are called. Everywhere else in the world they are Girl Guides. Mm-hmm. But throughout the world there are Girl Scouts in foreign countries who mm-hmm. are living there with their families. Mm-hmm. So it is truly a national and international organization. Mm-hmm. And its roots here in Morehead are just a very small part of that whole picture. Mm-hmm. But yet very important part, because mm-hmm. every troop, which is the level at which a girl joins, is mm-hmm. the troop level, mm-hmm. you know, is, it fits into the whole picture as well.
Mm-hmm. Much of your work, I assume, with the girls is done by volunteers, isn't that correct,
that's
Bonnie?
Right.
That's mm-hmm. one of the things that this particular project mm-hmm. that we're working on today is mm-hmm. interested in, is the fact that your professional staff is modest by mm-hmm. comparison with
yes.
the numbers of... So all
yes.
the troop leaders and so forth are all volunteers.
Volunteers, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In our council, we have about 1,000 adult members. Mm-hmm. And I would say that probably 95% of those people are working mm-hmm. directly with the girls on mm-hmm. a troop level. Mm-hmm. Some have dual positions in Girl Scouting. They also volunteer their time in what we call a support team in mm-hmm. your local level. Your support team provides your backup services and your mm-hmm. support and help to your local mm-hmm. troop leaders. Mm-hmm. Our staff, as you said, is small in comparison when you work with that many volunteers. Mm-hmm. Our girl numbers are around 4,500.
Now that's the whole council.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 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 And our staff numbers of professional staff who do the same sort of job that I do, we have actually only two full-time, and we have four part-time. Mm-hmm. And then some other staff positions include an executive director, a director of field services, a camping services director who also doubles with mm-hmm. field territory, mm-hmm. and then clerical staff, mm-hmm. which numbers only three people, mm-hmm. and one of whom is part-time herself,
I see.
And a bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. Those are the professional staff mm-hmm. and full-time office staff mm-hmm. that fit the needs of our council. Mm-hmm. Larger councils, of course, require a larger professional
sure.
staff. Mm-hmm. But the bulk, you're right when you say of the efforts and, mm-hmm. and things that happen in Girl Scouting happen because of volunteers. Now, mm-hmm. other volunteers can serve in the capacity of Board of Director members. We mm-hmm. have 23 individuals who serve on our Board of Directors, mm-hmm. who do the policy making, carry out the legal obligations of mm-hmm. our council, mm-hmm. Make sure that they're met, mm-hmm. Deal with professional staff, work with professional staff, setting mm-hmm. operating objectives and goals for our council. It's mm-hmm. up to the professional staff to make sure that that's carried out. Mm-hmm. And then volunteers help in other capacities. Our regular volunteers would be our leaders who mm-hmm. meet every week or biweekly with the girls, mm-hmm. or bimonthly. And then we have other people who come in and help with special events mm-hmm. or at a troop with demonstrations or with certain projects or when they're doing badge work. We call these people consultants. Mm-hmm. So, and not all of those people register as adult members. So really it's more than 1,000 adults mm-hmm. who are involved with Girl Scouting mm-hmm. in our council, but we have no way of knowing mm-hmm. how many mm-hmm. of these other people are involved, because it could be once, mm-hmm. twice, you know, many yeah. times during mm-hmm. the year that they would help with a troop too. And of course our parents.
Yes,
they play a big role too.
Yeah,
we
sure
try to get them involved. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we're somewhat successful mm-hmm. at that mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us just very briefly what the real purposes of Girl Scouting are?
The major focus of Girl Scouting is the growth and development of girls and women. Mm-hmm. And our program, as it is written by the National Girl Scouts, centers around five worlds to explore, and all of those worlds have a focus, which we call the four program emphases. Mm-hmm. So everything that is written as far as program materials in Girl Scouting relate back to our overall goals of mm-hmm. those four program emphases, and they are deepening self-awareness, relating to others, developing values, and contributing to society. Mm-hmm. And the activities and things that the girls do and enjoy in, mm-hmm. in attaining those goals, they aren't aware of them, the leaders mm-hmm. are.
Yeah.
But the things that they do come from those five worlds to explore. Mm-hmm. And those are the world of well-being, which are health-related mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. The world of people, which focus on heritage, community, mm-hmm. Civics, good citizenship, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. The world of today and tomorrow, which include futuristic things, mm-hmm. science. Mm-hmm. The world of the arts, which are not only things in the area of art, traditional art, which mm-hmm. we think of working with those kinds of mediums, mm-hmm. but photography, mm-hmm. architecture, theater, mm-hmm. drama, mm-hmm. and the world of the outdoors, which mm-hmm. is not only camping and those kinds of outdoor things, but also ecology, the environment. Mm-hmm. So it's a well-rounded program.
Yes, it is.
And at the center of our Girl Scout program is a promise and a law. Mm-hmm. And the girls learn that beginning with the very youngest level, and it every meeting it should be recited, and it's said at every Girl Scout activity or event.
On my honor, I will try that.
That's
one?
Right. Uh-huh. On my honor, I will try to serve God, my country, to help people at all times, and to live by the Girl Scout law.
I can remember that.
Well, it has been changed over the years, and it was just changed again yeah. at the last National Council session, which was in October uh-huh. in Detroit. Uh-huh. And the word mankind had been in there prior. Just the last revision included the word mankind, and that was deleted, and now it's back to help people at all times.
Yeah, that's interesting, because when I was a Girl Scout many years ago, mm-hmm. and it was on my honor, I shall try to do my duty to God and my country, mm-hmm. to help other people at all times, and to obey the Scout law.
Yeah, very, very basic. It's always maintained itself. Well, see, you probably said it enough times. And hopefully girls are saying it enough times, they do remember it. And our youngest girls learn it very rapidly, too.
Now, those are brownies, is that right?
Well, now it includes daisies, which are 5-year-olds. Daisies was just initiated this past year.
I see.
And coming this next year, we do hope to have some troops. Not a large number. We're going to start out small. Mm-hmm. But I know that we will have some in Moorhead. We mm-hmm. will have at least one daisy troop. We're already planning for that, as well as some others in our council. And then the brownie level includes 1st through 3rd graders.
Why are you, go ahead and then I'll get back to my why.
Juniors include 4th through 6th grade, our cadets are 7th through 9th, and our seniors are 10th through 12th grade. And I'll just give you a little lowdown on what they're doing at each level. At the daisy level, the emphasis is on exploration. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that they're only 5 years old restricts them from doing some activities. Mm-hmm. They can't mm-hmm. read, or if they do read, it's very minimal.
Yeah.
And then our brownie level is emphasizing discovery and participation. Mm-hmm. The brownies complete what we call the brownie bee activities. Mm-hmm. That's what their focus is at their troop meetings. Mm-hmm. Be a discoverer, be a ready helper, be a friend maker. These mm-hmm. are concepts which the girls at that age can grasp and mm-hmm. understand why they're doing things and what they're doing in Girl Scouting. Mm-hmm. Then at our junior level, the emphasis becomes adventure and proficiency, and the girls are introduced to proficiency badges. Mm-hmm. There are 76 badges, mm-hmm. of which they can earn any or all. Uh-huh. Cadets, the emphasis becomes action and challenge. Mm-hmm. And at this point, the girls can now begin to work on some very high and special awards in Girl Scouting. Mm-hmm. The very highest awards they can achieve or put their efforts towards are the Silver Award at the cadet level, as well as some other leadership recognitions. Service things also mm-hmm. are very, very good program at the mm-hmm. cadet level. Mm-hmm. Well developed and really fits into the needs and interests of girls at that level. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a bigger drop-off rate at that level, so it's tough to keep them, and it takes mm-hmm. good adults to work with them. Mm-hmm. And then our senior level, which becomes important time for self-awareness and service. Mm-hmm. And the very highest level in Girl Scouting, which is the Gold Award, is available for girls at the senior level to work on.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, I'm assuming, Bonnie, that you've felt a changing need. I mean, that the Girl Scout movement has felt a changing kind of need to initiate, for example, the DAISY mm-hmm. Group is mm-hmm.
The National Board of Directors made that decision, and I'm sure that it was based upon membership figures, for one thing, mm-hmm. because we increasingly are seeing a dropout rate, even beginning at that 6th grade level, mm-hmm. before they even reach that cadet level, which used to be the bigger dropout area. So they are trying to involve girls at a younger age, as well as, because of the different changing lifestyles of people in this country. We have more single-family homes and such, too. You know, they're seeing an increasing need for girls to be involved or to be put into mm-hmm. programs like this mm-hmm. to give them outlets or opportunities for their role models. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a single parent needs additional help, perhaps, mm-hmm. too, with mm-hmm. the parenting. And mm-hmm. so Girl Scouting provides a good means by which to have that happen.
Mm-hmm. Are you having good luck in getting good leadership for your girls?
At all levels?
Mm-hmm.
I think overall we have very good fortune in that. Mm-hmm. And being that you are using volunteers, you know, you don't turn them away too often.
No.
Occasionally, we do have a problem with a leader who just isn't really cut out for that type of position.
Mm-hmm.
But we have developed job descriptions for our leaders,
mm-hmm.
and we provide leadership trainings at all levels, mm-hmm. from our beginning leaders all the way up through, you know, numbers of years that leaders have been involved. We have educational opportunities, mm-hmm. leadership training opportunities we provide for them as a staff, and mm-hmm. also nationally.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to develop the potential in our volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year is always the most difficult, most mm-hmm. leaders would tell you. After that, it gets a lot smoother and a lot more fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not alone. You know, every association has their monthly meetings,
mm-hmm.
and we, as a field staff, that's one of our primary responsibilities mm-hmm. as field directors, is to develop that local adult program.
I see.
And then, by doing that, the troop-level program becomes that much better.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
is actually carrying out what we call consider good Girl Scout program mm-hmm. and is geared towards that. So we just don't turn leaders loose with mm-hmm. program materials mm-hmm. and say, here, go do this. Sometimes that happens, unfortunately, where there isn't a good local association support system.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're really working at developing mm-hmm. the adult end of it.
How many troops do you have in Morehead?
In Morehead, well, I can tell you the membership numbers. We have about 120 girls.
Mm-hmm. How many?
And I believe, we have about 35 adults.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And that's not counting the ones who help out. These mm-hmm. are registered adults, because mm-hmm. we do have fathers who help with troops, too.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are not registered. Troops, I was going to look that number up before I came, and I didn't.
Well,
I think we have around 20 troops.
Mm-hmm. And then you have, I suppose, in terms of population comparison, troops in Fergus Falls and in
Fergus
Detroit
Falls,
Lakes.
I've just been working with that community over mm-hmm. the last few years, so that's a small membership there. Detroit Lakes, yes, they have mm-hmm. a membership comparable to Moorhead's.
Mm-hmm. You do. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And do you go into the little communities,
yes,
too, like Pelican Rapids? Or?
Well, we've tried there. We haven't gotten any response. I've had some adults interested, but we weren't able to get other adults
mm-hmm.
interested.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it takes the adults almost to get it going in a community.
Sure.
Just this spring, and now this summer, we'll be getting some troops going in Henning, which is a small community.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just name off the communities I work with. Besides Moorhead, Detroit Lakes, Fergus Falls, I work with Parker's Prairie, mm-hmm. which is small. They just started some troops up last fall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to travel through it here mentally.
Yes. Yeah.
Lake Park, Glendon, Hendrum Halstead, Ada, Fertile, Manoman. I also work with Mayville, and North Dakota, and Hillsboro, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
West Fargo, Horace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are...
And Henning.
Right, Henning will be added to that. I think I'm missing somebody in there, but... Yeah. Oh, I know. Dent and Perham.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have a big program there. Mm-hmm. And quite often in a community, it takes those dedicated few individuals mm-hmm. who'll stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And where you see the problem begin to slow down or mm-hmm. wane, it's not mm-hmm. because of lack of girls being interested, although mm-hmm. they get involved in so many other activities nowadays as compared to, you know, when you were in it, probably that may have been the only organization for mm-hmm. girls to mm-hmm. join, or the only activity outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes those few individuals to really keep the program going.
I would think in your rural communities, too, you'd have your 4-H programs, which
mm-hmm.
are very important,
right.
aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in some sense, you're doing a little bit the same.
Yeah, our programs complement each mm-hmm. other. They're structured mm-hmm. somewhat differently,
mm-hmm.
but the intent is there.
Mm-hmm.
The focus is a little different. We have our troop meeting every week. 4-H generally have monthly meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the goals and objectives are very much the same. Mm-hmm. Character development,
mm-hmm.
You know, developing interests in kids, you know, broader interests,
mm-hmm.
Good citizenship,
mm-hmm.
you know, sound bodies, sound mm-hmm. minds, that sort of thing.
Back many years ago when I was in a troop, it was quite military. I mean, we wore khaki outfits.
Oh, it's changed.
Marched madly back and forth and carried flags and participated in
we have flag ceremonies, but it's the military
parades and so
military
on.
Aspect of it's mm-hmm. really been done away with, I think. And for many years, the Girl Scout uniform was probably of that same sort of fabric.
Then it became green, didn't it?
Well, it's brown for the brownies. It'll be blue for the daisies. It's brown for the brownies. Mm-hmm. And the others are all different shades of green. And Hector Jr. uniform was just updated again in polo shirts and a new style of blouse and pant. So, I mean, everything is very current. The adult uniform was just designed by Bill Blass, so that kind of takes it out of that militaristic.
Well, it was an interesting uniform experience.
But Well, I know when you look back at pictures of those old uniforms, they do look a lot like that. They never changed.
Oh, we weren't allowed to wear jewelry when we were in uniform. I was just terrified.
I never heard of that.
Leader left, and she was one of these extremely powerful people. And
it could have been that individual.
Yes, she was. That was her joy.
Have that happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't deny that we don't have problems with personalities too. You know, that's
the membership dropped after she left because we all had such high respect for her. You know, and the program really zipped along.
Yeah.
And then we got a very kind of lovely lady, but. It's a whole different style, you know, and that happens all the time.
Right.
Whenever you're doing group things.
Yeah.
So. Certainly not exclusive to Girl Scouts. Well, but I think your goals and your character building, that whole picture is the same as it was when I was a girl.
Yeah.
You're funded partially by dues, I presume, and partially by the United Way?
The dues funding stays at the troop level. Mm-hmm. So that supports and pays for things that the girls do in their troop level. Partially funded by United Funds, United Ways, and Communities. Mm-hmm. The bulk of our income as a council comes from our annual cookie sale. The troops keep a portion of that for a troop profit. Our local associations also keep a portion. But the greatest share of it is supporting our council, and it is the only council service fund, council service project is what we call it, that whereby troops and leaders are helping support the council. Otherwise, the council is raising money through those means, through those United Fund, United Ways, other contributions, bequests, things like that, interest income, that sort of thing. But they depend very heavily on that product sale, which is not a real good situation. This year we had a drop in sales, and so of course that affects our overall budget plans for the coming year. Now locally, girls and in their troops can participate in an additional fundraiser during the year, and most of them opt to sell Girl Scout calendars, and they keep the entire profit from that sale. And then sometimes if they have a special need, they can come up with another fundraising project. We don't like them fundraising more than that, because then that becomes the whole activity oriented things that they're doing, and then fundraising, and everybody has the image that Girl Scouts are always out selling something, which isn't the case. It's kept to a minimum.
Very good. I'm sure your cookie sale has because of that rumor that went around.
It may have had some effect. Some communities' membership was not to what up to what it had been in other years. And we really experienced this year for the first time and it could have come from last year, a lack of enthusiasm to get out and sell cookies. And so that certainly didn't help, I don't think. And, you know, we will have to see what happens next year. But our troops came through. Originally, our loss looked like it would be an 8% loss of what our goal was. But letters went out to all of our communities, and they came through. Many of them did and ordered additional cookies. So they cut that loss down to our council for about 4% down from what our anticipated goal was.
I wonder why the lack of enthusiasm. Are the kids selling too many other things?
It could be. You know, that idea of getting kids out to do product sales has really caught on over the years, and
you were
unfortunately,
one of the first to do that,
weren't
you?
Oh, yes, back in 1933. And, of course, it was successful, and it was kept up. And and now, nationally, I think it's around $200 million.
Is that right?
Yeah, nationally, that it raises. Now, see, the cookie sale supports local councils. That does not go to the National Girl Scouts. The only money that our Girl Scout organization provides the National Girl Scouts is our annual membership dues, which are $3 per member for both adults and girls. And that's the only money that supports Girl Scouts USA. Otherwise, everything else stays either with the troop or with our council.
Now, supposing a youngster hasn't the $3, does that, are there some ways for
well,
her to belong?
Well, local associations will sometimes pay mm-hmm. that for the girls. So we mm-hmm. do have scholarship money available, mm-hmm. provided by our council, mm-hmm. to provide for, you know, helping pay for those kinds of fees, as mm-hmm. well as camp fees, mm-hmm. Special event fees, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
Where do the girls in this council go to camp?
Well, our camp program has waned over the years. Mm. Used to be we do have some camp property, but it's strictly used for troop camping. We don't have resident camp programs. Mm-hmm. And last year was the last attempt we had at having a resident camp, and we didn't get enough girls to sign up. Mm-hmm. Before that, the summer before that, we had a resident camp at Camp Many Point. We had leased a campsite from the Boy Scout camp there. Mm-hmm. So the camp program that the girls can participate in is done at the local level through their day camp.
Oh, I see.
Which, in some cases, they camp overnight for one or two nights. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they can go to any one of the three council camp properties. Mm-hmm. We have one at Valley City, one at by Thief River Falls, and we don't use that other property. It's up near Bangley. That used mm-hmm. to be our resident camp. So I should say there really are the two that they can troop camp at.
Mm-hmm. And that's that they go to that by paying a fee.
Well, that's done at their troop level.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they can use the council camp equipment. We have camp equipment for them to borrow mm-hmm. if they choose mm-hmm. to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, any other events, we have some bus trips in the summer that are council sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
We have during the year, we have activity, special event days for the
mm-hmm.
girls.
Mm-hmm.
We had one this year for our junior Girl Scouts called Folk Art Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
We had, for our Brownie Girl Scouts, we have an annual day called Brownie Fun Day, which is for third grade Brownies.
Mm-hmm.
We had a program for our cadets this year called Breaking Away, which was a series of four different events all overnight. And the last one included sixth grade juniors, and they were at the Grand Forks Air Force Base.
Mm.
And so, during the year, there are these special events, and the associations plan special events, too, for the girls locally.
Mm-hmm.
Father-daughter barn dances, mm-hmm. mother-daughter teas. Mm-hmm. Some have lock-ins, the overnight sleepover type things for everybody
mm-hmm.
in the school or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there are all those activities going on. Our girls, through the cookie sale, earn what we call cookie credits. So mm-hmm. whenever there's a council-sponsored special event, like our day camps, our bus trips, or any of these other special events mm-hmm. I mentioned, those credits are applicable to the event fee, that they don't always have to have, mm-hmm. the money for those things. Mm-hmm. If they've sold cookies, they're earning credit towards mm-hmm. those things, too.
And I assume that any girl is eligible, mm-hmm. without regard to race
or
creed or
anything.
Right.
Affirmative action is policy we have to practice, and mm-hmm. of course it's always been open to girls mm-hmm. of any of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have men that belong, but at the adult level. We are not open to male membership, other than at the adult level.
You mean that the adult level, you're talking about high school?
Over 18.
Over 18.
Yes,
so you do
as an adult Girl Scout.
What is a man doing as an adult
Girl
Scout?
Well, men can be troop leaders. Okay. They have helped as troop leaders, quite often husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
We have men who serve on our board of directors.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. In our council, we have, I think we have 6 men or 8 men that
mm-hmm.
serve on our board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
Men can also work in the professional staff area. Mm-hmm. Other councils, in fact, there are one of two in Minnesota that have male executive directors.
Mm-hmm.
So those are, and on a national level, too, at the National mm-hmm. Girl Scouts, there are men who are employed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't exclude men.
No, I misinterpreted that in my own head. I thought uh-huh. you meant as a scout, not as a leader. Like a Brownie grown up or something. No, I would imagine you'd use a lot of fathers,
mm-hmm.
too.
Right.
And
we try to.
Yeah. Can you tell us, Bonnie, of some people who have played very important roles as leaders of troops or in whatever, on boards of directors or whatever, particularly in the Minnesota area and Moorhead and so on?
Well, because I've only worked here 5 years, mm-hmm. I know that of the names I could give you of people who have helped, and I hate to leave people out, too. Mm-hmm. In Moorhead, I'll just try to run down some names
mm-hmm.
of people.
Mm-hmm.
When I started, the association chairman, and that's the volunteer position in a community which oversees what's happening locally,
mm-hmm.
That person was Bonnie Felland.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year ago, Don Miller of Moorhead took over that role.
Mm-hmm.
And both have played very active and important roles in mm-hmm. maintaining that local program.
Mm-hmm.
Their major concern, I work with them, you know, we work together, and our concern is recruitment in the mm-hmm. fall, not mm-hmm. only of girls, but leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And once those troops are organized, training them.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure the program is going on throughout the year, planning mm-hmm. for special events.
Mm-hmm.
Other individuals who would help on a support team level mm-hmm. have been, Eva Ray Herbst has been involved.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we have Tony Holacek, who now currently still is on the support team. Mary Rice is on our support team. Cheryl Mavis.
Mm-hmm.
As far as leaders, you know, we've had many, many leaders over mm-hmm. the years. I'd have to mention Harriet Moorbacher, who is involved for many years. As a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter is one of the 10 girls from our council who is going to our cabana.
What is that?
Tricia Moorbacher mm-hmm. is her name. Our cabana is one of our 4 international centers in Girl Scouting. It's located outside of Mexico City.
Mm.
I can't pronounce it right now, I can't remember the name of the
town.
I'd have to look it up to get my pronunciation right.
Mm-hmm.
But Mexico City is close enough. But anyway, Girl Scouts, Girl Guides from around the world can go to these international centers.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have 10 girls and 2 chaperones going from our council. And as I said, 1 girl from Moorhead, there are 3 going from Fargo, and the rest are going from some other parts in our council.
Mm-hmm.
One of our chaperones is from Detroit Lakes, and one is from East Grand Forks. And they're going to spend a week at the cabana, and they will get to share in an international opportunity. It's mm-hmm. a really fantastic thing for these girls.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a part of what is really great about Girl Scouting. They have not only locally things that happen, but nationally and internationally.
Mm-hmm.
These are called wider opportunities for the girls, and they're mm-hmm. for adults as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, getting back to names of people. I was given a couple of names, and I tried to contact these people. There was Andorla Bernou,
yes.
Bernou, do you know her?
She was our daughter's Girl Scout leader.
Okay, I was given her name.
Yeah, she lives out in Perham now, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Edie Keel?
Maybe so. I don't know.
Helen Keel?
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, I don't have all the records. Those things are kept at our local chairman's home.
That's fine. I just was interested in
you know, and I really hate to not mention somebody, but I just, that reason mm-hmm. would be because I'm just not aware of
mm-hmm.
them.
Many of your leaders, I imagine, your women leaders are mothers of scouts, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, they usually are. We do mm-hmm. have single leaders, though, too. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have some college girls who are very good leaders mm-hmm. for us. We've sometimes it doesn't work out, but sometimes we get some really good leaders
mm-hmm.
from
mm-hmm.
the local colleges here.
And I suppose you do some recruiting of leaders and of Girl Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you go about doing that?
Well, of the Girl Scouts, or the girls, we send flyers through the school.
Mm-hmm.
We have posters. We have ads.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the leaders. We have run ads mm-hmm. at our parent meetings in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
We make the announcements of what our leader needs are.
Mm-hmm.
Some councils have a little more elaborate system for volunteer mm-hmm. development than we do here. They interview volunteers,
mm-hmm.
screen them a little mm-hmm. more carefully,
mm-hmm.
which I guess it's good if you've got a good pool of volunteers to draw from. Sometimes we're, you know, really, we don't take just anybody, but we are looking for mm-hmm. leaders, so we can't, you know, turn anyone away.
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel, or we try to fit them in somewhere.
Sure.
We wouldn't take
mm-hmm.
someone if we felt they were really not cut out or would be a bad choice as a leader either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what would you say was the kind of unique position that Girl Scouting has in this community, Bonnie?
I think the place of Girl Scouting in this community in that is important in that it provides an atmosphere of development for the girls to have an opportunity to work with an adult mm-hmm. in a capacity other than in school, let's say, where you have the teacher-student relationship or the parent-child relationship.
Mm-hmm.
In Girl Scouting, we institute what we call girl-adult planning.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to happen at the troop level and all the way through Girl Scouting at every level of it,
mm-hmm.
which means participation by the girls in planning the activities, setting the goals, and carrying out those things
mm-hmm.
so that they aren't just told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, when the girls have a chance to do this, it has to carry over into the way that they make choices and decisions, because mm-hmm. this is what we're giving the kids a chance to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're learning to work with adults in a capacity that they're friends, mm-hmm. not adversaries.
Yeah.
Learning to explore their community. Mm-hmm. They're giving back to the community in the long run, because they learn more about the community, mm-hmm. feel more obligated to it as a member of it, helping it.
Mm-hmm.
Providing service to the community is a big thing in Girl Scouting that we emphasize at all levels, from brownies all the way on up through seniors.
What do you do? Volunteer in nursing homes?
Yes, that, in the schools, helping with community projects, get out the vote type things.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the girls do things for elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
Adopt a grandparent, mm-hmm. visiting the people in the elderly housing mm-hmm. or nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
It can be anything, really, mm-hmm. as long as it's helping with Special Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Just remembering that there are people less fortunate,
mm-hmm.
doing things for them. I know, you know, kids donate things that they've made, or mittens or caps or things like this, mm-hmm. for the Christmas time,
mm-hmm.
for the clearinghouse, holiday clearinghouse, food items,
mm-hmm.
just becoming more conscientious of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So in the long run, what the uniqueness of Girl Scouting is that it's not only self-development, but it's also development, you know, and commitment and caring about the community at large.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that carries over to, as a girl matures,
mm-hmm.
that kind of spirit.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Too, caring about the worldly things. Well, also mm-hmm. in Girl Scouting, too, there's a real emphasis on internationalism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay. Do you have anything else that you'd like to say about this?
I could go on, I suppose, yeah. for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we've touched on so many of the things. I guess just to summarize it, Girl Scouting, like many volunteer organizations, benefits the people who volunteer their time as
mm-hmm.
well as the girls.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who are in it whose girls have long ago grown up,
mm-hmm.
people who've never had children that have been in it for over 30 some years.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why they stay in it is because it's fun for them as well as for the kids.
Yeah.
And people stay in Girl Scouting because they enjoy it. They get something out of it
mm-hmm.
that benefits themselves as well as benefiting other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I have worked with many fine volunteers. I'm really, you know, if the time comes that I don't work for the Girl Scouts, I will miss them, and they will always have a real special place in my heart, because
mm-hmm.
I've worked with some very committed,
mm-hmm.
Very conscientious adults.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes wonder where they get all their energy
yeah.
from, but it seems endless.
Mm-hmm.
And they really have a concern for how girls are growing up in this mm-hmm. society and in this country and in the world. And I think everyone is better for that,
mm-hmm.
not only the girls, but, you know, the world at large, too.
Have you seen a change in the kinds of girls or their problems?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And in the things that they want to do for what, you know, is fun for them,
mm-hmm.
you know, things have really changed. I mean, what was fun when you were in Girl Scouting or mm-hmm. seemed exciting, although mm-hmm. some things still remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
They still think camping out is you know, great fun.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be in the outdoors. They love
mm-hmm.
to do things outside.
Mm-hmm.
They like to explore new adventures, that kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
those things are all much
yeah.
the same. But the challenges that are greater is something I went back to before. We have single-parent families,
yeah.
working mothers, mm-hmm. which makes it more difficult to get volunteers to
mm-hmm.
trying to work out time schedules for troop meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it carries through sometimes in the attitude of the children if they've
mm-hmm.
had a disruptive life. And, of course, kids, too, being that they are living in a media environment and
mm-hmm.
in a materialistic society like ours, you know, they have different expectations sometimes,
mm-hmm.
too, about things.
Mm-hmm.
So, the activities and such, you know, sometimes don't seem as challenging
mm-hmm.
to them,
mm-hmm.
but they are. And the Girl Scouts have really kept their program
mm-hmm.
abreast of what mm-hmm. interests girls, too, and what's important for them.
What does interest girls now?
I was just reading through a needs assessment survey
mm-hmm.
this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as I just said, things that they can have, when they can have fun with other kids their
mm-hmm.
age,
mm-hmm.
you know, things that are really new and challenging to them, an adventure type thing. Like our summer bus trips are
mm-hmm.
really popular with the girls because
mm-hmm.
they love to travel, they love
mm-hmm.
to some new adventures, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sports really interest the girls. They really love the sporting activities.
Mm-hmm.
Now that might be a little different than
mm-hmm.
when you were in.
I'm sure.
And things, you know, that used to be more traditional type mm-hmm. things for girls aren't as popular, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Although they still like the exposure to it, mm-hmm. and it's still good to expose them to those things, too.
Have you run into the drug problem?
Well, see, you know, we're not dealing with an age group. See, by the time we would get kids who might be prone to those problems, they probably have dropped out of the Girl Scout
junior.
Program.
Yeah.
I hate to make a stereotype statement, but those usually aren't the girls who are in our program,
mm-hmm.
which is too bad, because they probably could use our program.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
But when they get to, let's say, 6th or 7th grade, peer pressure enters in, and it isn't cool to be a Girl Scout anymore,
mm-hmm.
or you get kidded because you're still in Girl Scout, and we run into that problem, even if a girl would still like to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
So the pressure is real great to drop out of the program. And then she gets involved in many sporting activities, even at younger and younger ages, so
mm-hmm.
it becomes difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that's definitely changed,
mm-hmm.
the commitments that kids have at ever increasingly younger ages.
Mm-hmm.
Gymnastics, dance lessons, you name it, you know, we have to compete with all those things, too.
Really running.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I really appreciate your coming.
Well, I was very happy to do this today. It was fun.
This has been a very interesting time, and as I say, if you have nothing else to
I think we pretty well.
Right at the minute.
Well, I'm sure there's some things I missed, but
sure
I think we've covered quite a bit, too.
We've some questions, but I think we've covered it pretty well, and I, once again, thank you for
coming. You're welcome.
Okay.